Well, I want to welcome everybody to another wonderful edition of Saturday AM Live. Our guest with us today is one who, well, how do we best describe Carol Thompson? One who, as an entrepreneur, is active by choice. There's no such word as busy when it comes to people who want to get more out of life, less TV time, more reading time, less time, you know, reading all the forwarded emails and more time focusing in on what needs to be at hand. But Carol has a nursing slash tech background. She's served on like a zillion different boards, just to sum up her bio. She is the president of the Thompson Group. She's been recognized by some of the Texas and local Austin slash San Antonio magazines and periodicals as one of Austin's five most powerful women, and another one said top 25 tech players to know. So, and then what was this other one? Nine people to see in Austin. So if you're one of the nine top people to see in Austin, Carol, if all these people are wanting to come see you, how do you have like a waiting list? Or and of course, you know, it's always fun when you read stuff like this about somebody, and I just, you know, went online and found it all. Carol, I met you, we spent time together, and I never knew all this because, you know you're a grandma, and I believe you just finished a tour of duty for several days, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I by myself for 2 weeks with a 3- and 4-year-old, so I said to Vance, maybe I can't speak in complex compound sentences this morning, but I'll try.
Oh, that is fantastic. So, Carol, let's get a little bit of background here and then how NECAN fit into this picture, because I'm looking at some of these things you've accomplished and some of the things you're still actively participating in, and I've served on boards, and I'm on board member positions now, and it does take a bit of time in the schedule, but tell us a little bit more about why you went into nursing and then all this other stuff that you got going on.
Okay, just a quick, my background, I was born in Gloucester, Massachusetts, so I never really realized I was a blue-collar kid till I was in my 40s, and because my grandfather was a fisherman and had three boats named after my mother and brother, and I had a family that believed in service. If my father ran a machine shop, if people didn't pay their bills, they paid us in fish. So I can remember delivering fish up and down Essex Avenue to the neighbors. And I think that was kind of a good, you know, and I have 13 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school. So it was a family that believed, I didn't even think about that until just now, you know, when you're committed, I guess.
Well, in other words, it's a lot like when our daughter asked us, me a few months ago, Daddy, when did you have your first job? And I had to think back, let's see, September 3rd, 1968. Yeah, pretty much when Daddy was born, you know, because Grandma and Grandpa ran that slave labor program.
Yeah.
But you probably were a lot like me, didn't hang out watching TV after school very much, did you?
Well, you know, my early years, there wasn't TV. We won't even go into that. No.
Sorry, I didn't seem to go there.
No, but I was always the one that delivered, you know, March of Dimes, or I won selling Girl Scout cookies. So I was always very active. You know, I did get the grade on my report card, talk too much, and that's still main. But that's been a tool for my life also.
Yeah.
And I'm a born optimist. I see life as glass half full. I mentor a lot of young people in Austin, and they're amazed when I say, you choose your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And no one gives it to you.
So to go back to my other question, nursing. I mean, daughter of a fisherman and a...
mother was a school teacher,
okay.
And I knew I didn't want to do that because if I didn't like the kids the first day, then you had a whole year with them, so... I thought, you know, in nursing, I'd done enough Sunday school teaching to kind of realize that aspect of it. But in nursing, I was went to Cornell on East 72nd Street in New York City, and the aspect that I liked best about it was public health nursing. So I've been a public health nurse on an Indian reservation, and had a former husband who flew tours in Vietnam, so I'm not the recipe type for the sit around and chit chat, so I worked two jobs then back to back, 8 to 5 and 5:30 to 10:30, so I didn't have time to think at that time.
Sure.
So as I say, it's a gift that I have the energy I have. But I loved nursing and I loved helping people, but I also knew, you know, giving pills for more pills wasn't always the best answer, but there really wasn't another answer at that point of the game. There were very few people who were really, I mean, there wasn't even the word wellness, as we know.
Sure, sure. So when did you, let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to probe and find out your age because that's irrelevant, but when did you actually enter or finish nursing school and enter into the nursing, the medical field?
In the 60s.
Okay. So you're, I mean, definitely, you know, complimentary.
I've seen it all.
Yeah, complementary or alternative wellness, like you said, the word wellness didn't even exist, so that would be totally, completely foreign. But it's interesting because after spending quite a bit of time at a hospital this week, you come to realize that even though it may be against the norm, that conscious, when you, you know, take that oath, as anybody in the medical profession does, that you start going, well, now wait a second. We're putting Band-Aids on things when we should be able to prevent this from ever happening. And get into that whole thing. So,
amen. And, you know, as a public health nurse, we went a lot into diet. Of course, I've been kind of shocked with this peanut butter thing because with mothers that couldn't afford or families that couldn't afford it, you know, you always talked about, you know, a tablespoon of peanut butter on bread and how good that was. So, anyway.
So why? So how many years in nursing and then to the shift?
I was a nurse for close to nurses on the phone realize once a nurse, always a nurse, but I was active in nursing for about 15 years.
Okay.
And then I volunteered. Well, truthfully, when you moved from California to Austin almost 30 years ago, you took a 50% pay cut.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, at that rate, I'd rather volunteer. So I started, you know, that.
Because you're almost kind of working for free anyway. But there is a cost of living difference, and a lot of people may not understand that cost of living in, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, Kansas, Midwest, it's a little bit different than it is on either of the coasts. And
not 50% less, though.
No, I know that. I'm just trying to soften the blow. Come on.
Yeah.
So you took a move, you decided to volunteer, then how did you get into the industry that you're in now?
With the Thompson Group?
Yeah.
Well, first, remember, I'm a talker.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was active for quite a few years with computer stores, and that's kind of a long story not to go into, but I used to have an auction business with items that needed to be inventoried, and so consequently there was a computer program to inventory the items, and then Apple said, well, we need someone to open a store in Houston and then Austin. So that was exciting, and then I still volunteered, delivering meals, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been a healthcare, you know, once you're a nurse, everywhere you go, people say, well, you were a nurse. How do you take care of this?
Sure.
And so what did happen, Joe Higdon is my sponsor in NECAT, and he was a client of mine at the Thompson Group, because at the Thompson Group I make introductions for people, and I do counsel CEOs, and I help people get on boards, and so I really made my mark in Austin in that regard. After I sold Computerland, that morning, now this is in the 90s, it was the first time a woman's picture was on the business page in the Austin American Statesman. 1992, and so five different people wanted me to come office with them because I chaired the board of the Chamber of Commerce and been to California and made a lot of connections, so they just asked me if I wanted to office with them. So that's when I really started to develop the Thompson Group because I'd been at the Chamber, and I knew a whole lot of people.
Sure, sure. So you're kind of basically a born networker, which is, you know,
right.
If you're going to be in business for yourself or be an entrepreneur or step out and do anything in that realm, rather than being just a you know, regular W-2 employee, nothing against that, because some people, that's what they feel like they're supposed to do with their life. However, when you step out, it's all of a sudden that, you know, that tenacity and that you develop a few people skills. So you meet Joe Higdon, and if for those of you who've never heard of Joe, he's quite a legend in the the insurance industry for one, but is all as well. And Nick has done some amazing accomplishments. How was that introduction? How did that come about?
Well, he was a he was a client of mine, and then he was in insurance, and at the end of the 90s realized the healthcare system was imploding. So he sold his company to Aon, a big insurance company, and was looking for something else. Well, he found what he was looking for with Nikan, Harry, and Rick Murphy here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Got Joe involved. Well, then Joe came to see me, and I was not what you'd call your best prospect, because he asked me many times, and I said, why did you keep asking me? And he said, because you always said you were too busy, but you never said no. So the message there is, listen carefully when you talk to people about the Nikan opportunity. Some of them could be the Carol Thompsons. They say they're too busy, but they never say no.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I was the one who signed up, and I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and not being able to go back to sleep. So I was an easy sell once he got me, so to speak, because being by myself and working, I couldn't afford to not be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a wellness home. But what really clinched it was I went hiking with my kids in Nevada. And I fell into a ravine and had a helicopter rescue. And the doctor, and I had a terrible broken ankle, and the doctor said I most likely would walk with a limp. And I said I would not walk with a limp. So it was the Palm Mag at that time now, the Power Mag. And I slept with it for 6 weeks because I was on bed rest and had 5 different tests. And it's a phenomenal story, and here I am, you know, I dance, and I don't have a limp, and that's what did it.
Now, this is a pretty serious, this isn't just kind of a trip over a small boulder and twist your ankle. You had to be airlifted out, and that's serious.
Big.
Okay, because as a volunteer firefighter, I've been on a few calls where we've had to airlift people out with the... With the hospital medical facility, you know, helicopter, and then also with the airborne, the National Reserves, and it's a serious issue. So, you know.
Yeah, it was, and I have screws on one side and a metal plate on the other. Luckily, they don't tick off when you go through the airport, so it's just under the bell.
And I have to ask this question just for the record, because we come up with this all the time, that now you've got, you know, so you've got parts, you've got stainless steel and Teflon parts in your body, and that doesn't, no effect on the magnetics, or the products don't, you know, react with that at all? No, not at all. And see, I know the answer to that question, because that's what got me into the business 16 years ago, when my grandmother having an artificial knee, and so on and so forth. So, okay, so you buy a complete wellness home. Were you looking for yet one more thing to add to your plate, your very active plate?
But it just over, because when I ticked off, you know, my life and what I was about and what I wanted to be, I just know that I'll always be active in some way, shape, or form. And this was like, wow, the technology background that I had running a Computerland franchise, the nursing background I had, and the people, and not only just the people I know how to teach people how to network and where to go to network, that this, like, did it all. And I was one of those back way, way back when that tried the Amway deal for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, but this has come so far, and I'm not the most detailed person.
Yeah.
And I'm very right-brained, so to have everything online and, you know, get your check in the mail, it was like I couldn't stop talking about it. And it is everything. I mean, it just gets better and better and better. And to have a corporate group that listens and all the support, I mean, I have a team that's going gangbusters, even even in tough times, because there is no unemployment with NECAN. There's 12.5 million people in the United States unemployed. We could employ them all, couldn't we?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what's interesting, because I know we have friends that are in that category, in that percentage. And yeah, what is amazing is most of them, they get counted in that because they were laid off or whatever, but the ones that have that can-do spirit, like yourself, they just get out there, and so they're in that percentage for such a small time. And yet what I don't understand is our media doesn't, you know, they don't take them out of that percentage. It's kind of like, we're just going to keep adding them, and we're going to count, you know, well, there's two in your household, but maybe there's actually three that are unemployed, so we'll count three. And I, you know, again, but that's the negativity that's out there, and we can combat that. Now, Carol, I'm really curious because you say things just are going gangbusters, even in such a tough economic time. What are you doing? Because I look at your volume, because I cheat. I went in through my parents' ID number. You're not part of our group, but
right.
You've got some good things going on. What's the secret to that?
Well, it's like you said, not listening to the news and having a can-do attitude. In fact, last night we had something from mothers and daughters of high school students and dance students on the makeup and the skincare, that we offer. How do you train these young women early to use, you know, Texas is a state that has a high makeup factor or a skincare factor, I would say. You know, in New England, you didn't wear much of anything on your face. But it's different in Texas. And so that was exciting. Never been done. Someone on my team said, I want to do that. Will you help me? Yes. And I think it's mixing. Some people could be stymied by doing one-on-one. Some people like that better. Mm-hmm. But I'm always, how can you get there faster so you have more time to do other things? You know, so it's having more meetings and events. Like this morning, I'm leaving. Vance knows I'm going, and we have a women's event in Austin. And Erin Latham has been a big planner behind the event, but I helped her get speakers. Well, one of the speakers is a woman who has a company called Kick Skirt. You know, you could kick butt, or for women, it's Kick Skirt. And it's marketing to women. So she's going to be speaking on reaching the women's market. And I'm speaking on how to develop your network and where to go, whether it's, you know, meet your alum group or, you know, you can go to Rotary, you can go to, you know, a variety. Mm-hmm. So after we finish that panel, people in that room, many of whom are prospects, in fact, 75% of the room, if not 80, are all prospects, will be better equipped, we hope, to make the choice to be joining us. Plus, we have fun doing it, and you can do that anywhere. I mean, you know, because restaurants are having a hard time, so they're going to welcome you with open arms if you bring people into the restaurant or coffee shop to have an event, and that kind of kills two birds with one stone. And I also try very hard in Austin to be developing multicultural and culturally diverse leadership.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in mentoring. I started a group in my living room in 93 with five girls, called Young Women's Alliance, because when girls graduate from college, the guys are still doing the deals, hunting, fishing, and golfing. So how do the women enter that scene?
Mm-hmm.
So that group is, now that's just one person having five girls. Mm-hmm. And that group is 400 strong in Austin now.
Wow.
And, it's that Margaret Mead quote, you know, one person can make a difference, you know, one person can really make a difference in the world. And I think it's important we see ourselves as that one person. But the gift of NECAN is the fact that you have to help three people get to your level before you can move. And when you talk to people about that, they love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we often forget that really, as you're saying, one person can make a difference. It's making that decision. And sometimes people are making a difference and they don't even realize that they're doing it, because it's just kind of an accident of sorts that their life is touching other people in a negative or a positive way, and how that can literally spiral or have a domino effect onto so many others. So what I hear you saying literally is that, you know, if you know, the philosophy of humans being more, and If it's to be, it's up to me. You know, we really have to make the decision. And even it leading a very active lifestyle, because, you know, of active people on my list, based on what I know you're doing, you're at the top. But I'm going to take a guess. Even, you know, spending 2 weeks with the grandkids, I'll bet you multitasked and squeezed quite a bit of other things in there. And yet you were still focused on the task. And, you know, grandparenting is not really a task, but you were still focused on the opportunity that was in front of you. And
right. I don't even take my computer when I'm there, I must say. The people that really need to get to me, they have my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do text. You know, you're in the park, and, you know, there's always someone in the park with their dog, and then there's someone with a dog that's kind of a wounded veteran dog, and do I have a deal for them? You want to see your dog walk? And it all happens that way. And Austin, many of you live in communities that probably have a sporting goods store, and we do. We have someone in a running, has Runtex, a running store, and he even called me at a marathon and said he liked what I had showed him, and he had a booth available, and he just said, you know, try it, see what's going to happen. So, you know, the runners, they're a healthy lot, and it's a great place to go. We all have probably some kind of a run or a walk in our community with nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy is great there, and runners usually take care of themselves, so it's a good karma.
Mm-hmm.
For people who take care of their bodies, they're usually happier people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well, I know I did an energy test on a gal. I would call her a friend now. I'd heard of her, but she was the sister of a good friend of ours, and she just started asking me questions, and I looked at her and I said, now look, just so you know, what I'm about to do as far as showing you and demonstrating these wonderful technologies and products that our company has, is you're going to probably get a pretty significant reaction. And she looked at me and she said, well, why? I mean, I think she was kind of scared. And I said, well, it's quite simple that you are one who takes care of yourself. I can tell that just by looking at you. Your skin, your physical size, your energy level, you know, all these different factors. And so sure enough, when we went through the test, you know, not just the mag step, not just a bracelet, but went through all of the products that I had on me at the time, and I was in her sister's home, who is one of our wellness consultants, and it blew her mind. She just started giggling, and then the questions, well, how do you make money at this? How do you, you know? And she's got a daughter who's autistic, and so it's just like you're saying, it's just finding the niche, finding out, okay, look at you, I can see just by looking at you, whatever the conversation starter is. Kara, I'm curious, because you're at a position with Nikan now that you're still actively recruiting, just based on looking at the numbers. And
right.
You've got a good organization that's up and going. Where do you find yourself spending most of your time? Is it, you know, still bringing in new people, or is it supporting the people you've got, or is there a happy medium, or just kind of,
ebbs and flows, I'd say, in that regard, because I have meetings at my own house every other Wednesday night from 7 to 8, or 7 to 8:15, and so there's a way, and it's usually, you know, we all get the same amount of hours in the day. It's how you use your time that makes a difference.
You have 26, I thought.
yeah. But, and, you know, some of us multitask better, but it's how do you use your time every day?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you set for goals for yourself? And, you know, do you write your goals?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have great weeks writing goals. Sometimes it's already Friday and I never got them written. And, you know, we're all human, so you can't be too hard on yourself. But every day is a Nikan day, because I'm in Starbucks and I'm in line at Starbucks. And one of my goals is to go in one morning and have every single person in the Starbucks I go to lift up some piece of Nikan product they have on them, and then I'm going to have a camera there to take it. And, you know, you probably all go to a favorite restaurant or waffle shop or what, and it's gradual. You're not going to do that overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it fun for yourself rather than think, I mean, people want to be helped, and I say, based on the success you've had with that product, who are five other people that we both can be talking to?
Exactly.
And so, to answer your question, it's the ebb and flow. Like, I have one on my team now that's going gangbusters, and she moves, so it takes a lot of time to do that right. And I've learned by trial and error, it taking the time out of my own time to help her, I get father. I think early on it was kind of like, well, I won't say let them fail, but I wasn't diligent to be following up to make sure they did their first 5 to 10 ABCs with me. Because I think some people think, well, I get it, I'm going out, and then they do a couple on their own, and then they're frustrated. And,
well, it's that McDonald's approach, and I'm not an advocate of the restaurant as far as eating there. We've been, I think, what, now 5 years McDonald's free. But the training approach that they use is something that we can adopt and simply, hey, let's do this together a few times, or I want you to watch me, we're going to do it together, and then I'm going to turn you loose, I'd like to watch you, and then boom, you're done. And it's not like you have to go to a week-long seminar to figure out how to share your story.
No, and in fact, I'm working with an Olympic swimmer right now, and he's from Portland, Maine, and he said he can remember way back when that his mother had the Power Mag and a comforter. He said she never was involved in, I haven't quite gotten where I want to get with him yet, but, you know, it's just fun being around a Beijing gold butterfly swimmer. So, and, you know, people want to be helped. And then there are also quiet leaders. I mean, everybody can't be allowed, but you can have quiet power, too. And I think it's meeting people where they are rather than where you are. And I must admit, I have to really slow myself down when I meet analyzers. And I really work hard, probably not as successfully. And then it's how do you have an analyzer in your group that can talk to another analyzer prospect? So, you know, there are analyzers and relators and promoters and directors. And I think we all need to be more mindful of how those people think.
Sure.
Because it's really not one size fits all.
Right. Well, and if you, you know, I would immediately cast you into the category, and this is not a bad thing, just to describe Carol Thompson as one who's a promoter slash controller. Because you're obviously taking control of your life, grabbing the bull by both horns and going for it. And at the same time, you're one to not only promote yourself and what you gain from NECAM, but also to promote other people. And so one of those analytical types that wants to study, you know, what are the, you know, the hexagonal structure of mags that you couldn't care less.
No, it's kind of like it worked. Why do you care? But now I realize, through trial and error, they do care, and you better slow down, and then they need to meet each other in a group, and that's okay.
No, I know, because I remember years ago, my brother and I were doing a presentation, and we said, you know, it's kind of like a bar of soap. Nobody really cares how it works, and nobody really knows how it works, and we had this gentleman in the back of the room raise his hand and said, well, I know how it works, and I can tell you. Let me tell you. And I'm like, that's not really what we were going for. Want to get clean and so on and so forth. Carol, I know you've got to get to this.
Well, I just want to tell you one family story.
No, absolutely.
You know, we all think our families are going to be, we're naive, I guess. So I have a son who's 40, and he's a reverse mortgage banker with Wells Fargo in Las Vegas. Very smart, humble, patient, the kind that any senior citizen would want to be helping them.
Sure.
I gave him the Mag Steps, Mag Strides a year ago, okay? For Christmas. In this last Thanksgiving, he wore them while he was cooking for Thanksgiving dinner and asking questions about them. So, I mean, it's like you have to be patient with your own family. I know they're all come around, and my granddaughters will, you know, I'll be willing the business to my granddaughters, so they'll have it. And I'm hoping to have them join me in this business. I mean,
absolutely.
We even talk about it at that level.
Absolutely. Well, and the bottom line is, as Reed Nelson, something I learned from one of our local friends here many years ago, that, you know, the business may not be for everybody, but if you're breathing, as my dad says, if you're breathing, you got a heartbeat, you can benefit from these products. And if you're not, you need to go talk to somebody else, because we can't help you at that point. But bottom line, everybody can benefit from these products. I mean, absolutely. It's just a no-brainer. So.
Yeah, so I think in some communities, think about how you seed, S-E-E-D, your community. Like, what if a lawyer that's really a connector has the Mag Strides or Mag Steps and talks to other lawyers, you know, or some product, they all want one. And my goal is to have the conversation be something like this. You don't live in a wellness home? So,
So in other words, you're living in a toxic-filled environment?
Yeah, and you know, environmental, and you know, USA Today's had a whole lot of articles on air in school classrooms. So we're all in communities with classrooms and in schools, and I know you've had a speaker on about that. So that is the next generation to take care of us, and you want those kids healthy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Carol,
I love doing this with you, and I'm...
Well, we're going to have to do it again, because I know there's so much more that you have to give our listening audience, and because of your wealth of knowledge. But however, I do want to allow you to fulfill your commitment to the group of ladies today, because otherwise I'm going to, you know, get a little hate email from several people.
From Aunt
Yeah.
So I guess we should all be selling. The St. Patrick's Day is coming up next, so that must be a greenzyme day to give everybody a sample of greenzyme.
There you go. I won't tell our daughters that day to wash the jades off the corners of their mouth when they take it in the morning. Just let them go to school like that. Maybe put a little teeth or up their nose or something so people wonder what the heck the Rogers are doing with that stuff. Well, Carol Thompson has been our guest, and we want to thank her so much for joining us today. And if you've got somebody, you've got a friend who... they may relate to what Carol has shared, her background, her entrepreneurial spirit. Growinginwellness.com. Again, www.growinginwellness.com. Brad and Beth Huddleston make these available to us, and you can go to that website, and there is a small window to listen to this interview, or pick up a CD. Also want to make a note that they have a great auto ship program where you can get these on a regular basis, so that way you know you're not going to miss any of them. But again, it's www.growinginwellness.com to get that. So Carol Thompson, again, has been our guest. Thank you so very much. We're going to let you go now, and we'll look forward to having you back real soon. Bye-bye.